It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
As we start off the program this week, I am singing the Broken Leg Blues. It's true. I went camping last week, a quick overnight camping trip with my Springer Spaniel Georgia. The plan was to find a remote Forest Service campsite and just spend the night, unwind, get away from all the bad news that's been plaguing us in this world as of late. Well, right before we went to bed, I took my dog out to do its business on the leash, and I don't know what she saw, I don't know what she smelled, but one minute I'm looking up at the stars, not having a care in the world, the next minute my dog is lunging and I'm on the ground, and all of a sudden my ankle is hurting really bad. Turns out it wasn't my ankle, it was the fibula right above the ankle. I broke it, and I'm going to be very limited in what I am doing outdoors for the next couple months, it looks like, and it looks like surgery is also in the cards. So wish me luck and wish me healing, and yes, I still love my dog Georgia, even though she is in the doghouse, so to speak. This week on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we're going to start off in Southeast Oregon, the Outback as they call it, where a huge 400,000 plus acre wildfire has been burning for well over a month now. We'll be checking in with Gary Brain, co-owner of the Lodge at Summer Lake and the Flyway Restaurant. Fortunately, the fire did not reach Summer Lake or the wildlife area there, but we've got all sorts of questions for Gary about how things are going this summer as they deal with the fallout of fires, drought, and COVID. We'll also preview the fall duck hunting season in this area, and you might be pleasantly surprised by what Gary's going to share with you about that. The pink salmon are thick in Washington's Puget Sound right now, and they are making their way into area rivers too, but how do you go about catching them from shore? Bob Loomis with Max Lure will tell you exactly how to do that during an extended Max Minute. And after that, we'll introduce you to Vicki Loftus. She is the woman behind Stillwater Adventures. She lives for trout fishing with a fly rod. And Vicki will tell you about how she got into Stillwater fly fishing, the flies she makes and sells, and some guided trips you can join her on in the weeks ahead. Our final segment, it's a special one. If you are a veteran, you've probably been glued to the TV watching the disastrous ending of our involvement in Afghanistan unfold. It's something that makes a lot of service members who have served in Afghanistan wonder whether their time there meant anything at all. That's why we're reaching out to retired Marine Corps Colonel Brian Gilman. He served in Afghanistan. He's also the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters, based in Bozeman, Montana, and he's got a special message for all of you who have served and put yourself in harm's way for our country. Brian will also tell you about the special ranch and program that Warriors in Quiet Waters has for post-9/11 combat veterans that teaches veterans how to fly fish and how fly fishing can be very therapeutic as well. If you're a veteran or if you know one who's been to Afghanistan or Iraq, this is something you won't want to miss. First things first, though, it's time for another edition of Sportsman Spotlight, brought to you by the Ag Information Network of the West.
Dust off your firearm or bow and get dialed in before the hunting season. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. Hunting season isn't as far away as one might think. So just before you're ready to go might be too late. Fish and Game official Roger Phillips has some advice.
You know, we typically see lots of last-minute hunters, and I won't claim to be perfect in not being one of those people, but archery hunts do start at the end of August, and a lot of rifle hunts start in late September or early October. And if you show up the last couple of weeks before those season starts, you're going to find some very clogged and busy gun ranges and archery ranges. So the quicker you get out there and start practicing, then the fewer people there will be, and you'll have the confidence going into your hunting season that your equipment is dialed in and ready to go.
Couple of tips. Patterning a shotgun before the season is a fairly common practice with turkey hunters, but it's something upland and migratory bird hunters should consider as well. Knowing your pattern density at given distances can help you determine your effective range and give you a good idea of how your shotgun performs with a particular choke and shell combination. Bow hunters, start by visiting your local bow shop and get your bow tuned up, especially if you haven't shot much, or at all, since last fall. Hope you enjoyed Sportsman Spotlight. I'm David Sparks. See you next time.
As a farmer, you need forward-thinking solutions from seed to harvest. You need Invictus, a full line of innovative products and services that maximize potential on every acre. Exclusively distributed by Simplot Grower Solutions, Invictus Seed Solutions products help you start with a strong foundation. Invictus Crop Care protects your investment, and Invictus Bioscience helps drive your yield potential. Invictus is here for your success. Go to Invictus.com to learn more.
Country Financial was founded by a group of farmers in 1925. Our roots lie in the values born of hard work, integrity, and compassion. As one of the nation's leading farm insurers, we have the expertise to help you protect your livelihood. After all, we've been doing it for 90 years. Visit countryfinancial.com and talk to your local Country Financial representative so we can talk about the next 90 years. Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're back in with your broken-legged host on Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Our next stop is truly one of my favorite places in the Northwest. It's the Lodge at Summer Lake, and they got a great restaurant, too, called the Flyway Restaurant. It's located in the Oregon Outback, southeast Oregon, right along Highway 31, between Lapine and Paisley, and right across the road from the Summer Lake State Wildlife Management Area, which offers hunting, fishing, and wildlife watching. With us here to tell you more about what's going on there these days is Gary Brain, one of the owners. Gary, great to have you back on the air.
Good to be talking to you too, and hope the leg gets better.
You and me both, but first things first, let's talk about the bootleg fire. 414,000 acres has burned. It's been burning over a month now. How has it affected your operations and what's going on in the wildlife area?
First off, the bootleg fire, along with a lot of other fires around, have really decreased our air quality for over a month now. Bootleg fire dramatically affected our reservations, of course, because we're under about 3 weeks of different sorts of evacuations, so we did have a lot of cancellations. The good news is the firefighters came in, and we did recover some of that revenue loss on the motel. The restaurant was pretty much a loss just because we couldn't open up. We did manage to keep our heads above the water, and we're open up now for business, and we're getting, you know, lots of reservations again, so that's a good thing.
Now, I understand the fire, and this is important for people to know, it did not reach the wildlife area, and it did not reach the immediate vicinity of where your lodge is either, right?
That's correct. They stopped it on it's called the 2901 road. Air miles, that was just less than an air mile from the lodge, but it, you know, we're down 3,000 foot below winter rim. So the big concern was if it would have hit the rim, the winds we have, it would have driven the fire right down to the base and affected, you know, the whole valley.
Right.
Good news is we had tremendous support from the local RFPAs, fire departments, and of course we had a Type 1 national team that came in and managed the fire. They did a fantastic job of herding it. With the mega fires like that, you just kind of herd it. You know, you can't put it out until it wants to go out.
Well, two things. Number one, you're right about those incident management teams. I've worked with them, and they are very talented, fantastic people. And number two, really glad that the fire did not come in the valley. Now, you know the saying, when it rains, it pours, except in this case, it hasn't rained, it hasn't poured. You're dealing with a horrible drought. And I've got to ask, you know, Summer Lake Wildlife Area, it's primarily a marsh. So how are the ducks doing there? How are the other birds doing there that people come to hunt and come to see?
Well, the good news with the Summer Lake Valley as opposed to Silver Lake or Paisley or any of the other valleys, we're blessed with Anna Reservoir and the Anna Springs. So we have you know, anywhere from 70,000 to 100,000 cubic feet a minute coming out of the springs. It's held in a reservoir and then discharged through the management area along with the ranchers. So we've had water all along, which really benefited the wildlife refuge. It stayed flooded where they wanted it flooded. And they're, of course, every year they work up ground doing, you know, habitat improvement and stuff like that. So we skated through the drought. The bad news is most all the reservoirs in Lake County, except for Anna, are either 10 to 15% are totally dry. So,
wow.
You know, that's going to affect fall waterfowl hunting on those reservoirs just because there's no water.
Right. But it sounds like Summer Lake is definitely the place to be. I understand that there's been some people in there putting bands on mallards. And if you're a duck hunter, folks, you know everybody wants to get a banded bird. That's a big deal. So how many birds have been banded there in Summer Lake?
Well, right now they've got 1 week left. They've been here for 2.5 weeks. Great bunch of guys and gals. They're baiting the birds into traps, so, you know, they're not chasing them down, if you will, with the airboats like they do when it's molting season. What they have so far is approximately 2,200 to 2,500 birds that have banded, mostly mallards. And I can tell you, in one set, as they call it, overnight, I think this was last week, they banded over 500 mallards in one set, which is phenomenal.
Wow.
They were just tickled pink.
Well, this is great news if you're a duck hunter, and it sounds like Summer Lake Wildlife Management Area will definitely be the place you want to be if you are a duck hunter in Oregon. There's geese that are there and upland birds. Let's talk about something else. Your current operations at the Lodge at Summer Lake and the Flyway Restaurant, great to hear you're open. It sounds like the setting is great for September and October, but I've got to ask, help has been very hard to find in the service industry just about everywhere in Washington and Oregon, thanks to very generous federal government unemployment benefits that are keeping people at home. A lot of people don't want to work because they're making as much staying home, though those benefits are finally expiring in early September at the federal level. Are you struggling to find good help to help you operate the restaurant?
We are. We have the wife and I and my sister and brother-in-law as owners, but that only goes so far. We desperately need another cook. We have one good steady cook and one good steady room cleaner. However, you know, when we start turning over rooms and filling up the restaurant, we're just super stressed. We've ended up for right now making reservations only, and, you know, not sure about what the new restrictions are going to be with with the new COVID restrictions coming out. We may have to end up limiting our seating space like we did the first year. You know, that really hurts.
Yes.
It's really bad, and you know, we enjoy having people come in off the road, but when you only have our seating capacity, typically was 37 to 40, when you cut that in half, we just can't operate full capacity, especially with the help that we don't have now.
I guess I should ask for our listeners out there who might be interested in working at your absolutely beautiful location for, by the way, folks, some really nice people, too. Are you hiring right now?
We've been hiring for about 6 months.
I get it.
And you're right. You know, there's just everywhere you go. It's just, you know, Bend, Klamath, any city, any town, any business, you're going to see hiring now.
Right.
You know, we just, the business community is floundering just because we can't find the help that wants to work. You know, if you can make just as much sitting at home as you do working, if not more in some cases, you know, flip a coin.
You're absolutely right. I mean, again, the only silver lining is that those benefits are finally expiring, and people who have been sitting home will finally have an incentive to get back to work. And again, folks, if you want to work in a place I think you'll like, this would be a good one. Last question. I understand it's reservations only at the restaurant, and folks, I highly recommend the restaurant. They have great food at very affordable prices. As for the lodge, do you have openings in September and October?
We do. Other than opening of October, or, you know, opening of duck season, we're booked, unfortunately, to get a spot. Somebody has to die. Our rooms have been rented. We have one person that's been in the same room for 37 years.
Wow. Well, I get it. I completely understand why. You got a great place to hunt right across the road and a great place to stay and eat. And by the way, folks, we didn't even talk about the bass pond they have in the back that's literally in casting range from the cabins you're staying in. We've got to go, but if folks want to make a reservation, what is the website for the lodge at Summer Lake?
Our website is lodge@summerlake.com.
All right, lodge@summerlake.com. That's lodge@summerlake.com. Make plans to come to the Oregon Outback, whether you want to hunt, whether you want to fish for trout or maybe some of those hybrid bass in Anna Reservoir, or whether you want to just see lots of wildlife. You're going to absolutely love this place. You're going to love the lodge. You're going to love the restaurant and the people who run it, too. That's the Lodge at Summer Lake. Reserve a stay this fall and have some fun in Oregon's Outback. Gary, always a pleasure to chat with you on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
You too, and take care of that lake.
Come to Oregon's Wallowa County for outdoors adventure. Hike, ride, paddle, fish, or sightsee to your heart's content. And then visit one of our wonderful towns, whether it be Joseph with its beautiful bronze statues, our county seat in Enterprise, or one of our charming small towns like Wallowa, Imnaha, or Troy, where you can eat, shop, and sleep before continuing your adventure the next day. Plan your visit now at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
With more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
You know what time it is. It's time for another Max Minute, brought to you every week by Max Lure. Last week, we talked about trolling for pink salmon in the saltwater. This week, we're going to talk about casting for them from shore. Bob, it's great to have you back on the air.
Thanks, John.
I am heading to Fort Casey State Park on Whidbey Island, and a lot of folks are fishing off of Whidbey Island and off of piers in Puget Sound, all hoping to catch pink salmon. A lot of them are throwing buzz bombs, but you've got some lures from Max Lure that are going to work just fine, too. Why don't you tell our listeners what they are?
Well, John, when you're casting to salmon or casting to fish and blind casting, retrieving, you want to have the colors that attract the fish. You know, you can scent them. You can do all sorts of things with them. But bottom line is, stuff like the Crip Lure has its own movement. So in retrieving, it's a quarter ounce. It throws a long ways. You know, you're up towards the surface. That thing's moving back and forth. It really winds the fish up. But not only the Crip Lure, we've got the Sonic Bait Fish, which fishes exactly like a buzz bomb. It's a jig and spoon. And we've got sizes all the way from 3/16 all the way up to 1 ounce. So you can fish the Sonic Bait Fish or even fish bucktails like the Rock Dancer. As long as you're using pink, you're going to catch fish.
You know, the Rock Dancer in particular, if the rivers are open, those Puget Sound tributaries, I think that is going to be fantastic.
Oh, it works great. It works great. You know, and there again, this time of the year with the low clear water, you're able to downsize stuff. So you're able to fish that 1/8 ounce bucktail or even, you know, a 1/10 or a 1/4 on the Sonic Bait Fish. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do with these things, and they work fantastic for catching the pinks.
All right. Well, if you want to have some fun catching pink salmon, which, when fresh, tastes great on the grill, and when not so fresh, are great for the smoker, consider the Sonic Bait Fish or the Crip Lure or the Rock Dancer. They're all from Max Lure, and you can find them at a sporting goods store near you or online at maxlure.com.
That's the sound you hear when a fish hits the new Sonic Baitfish from Max Lure Company. This metal lure can be cast, trolled, or jigged, and will catch just about anything that swims in the sea, the river, or the lake. The Sonic Baitfish has a unique vibration and flutter that can be rigged in 7 different ways. With all sorts of eye-catching colors and weights available, you'll be reaching for the Sonic Baitfish as your go-to lure. It's the Sonic Baitfish. And that's another fish on, only from Max Lure Company.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it. Gonna get up before the sun rises above us. Got a bamboo pole and a leaky boat.
And you're back in with our broken leg edition of Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and we have got Vicki Loftus on the line. She hails from Oregon. She's the owner of Stillwater Adventures. She is a guide. She has her own line of flies, if you're a fly angler. She's a writer, too. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm enjoying being a part of your program this morning.
I am glad you're here. Let's start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you. You love to fish and you love to go fly fishing.
I do. In 2015, I established my company, Stillwater Adventures, and primarily the purpose was to provide online information to anglers on Stillwater destinations and to share fishing tips and techniques that I had learned during my travels. Because I travel, John, about 15,000 miles a year hunting trout.
Wow.
I average 150 to 200 days a year on the water, and I've fished close to 60 different lakes across the Northwest in the last 10 years, while landing about 500 fish a year is my average. When I started fishing, I lived for 3 years out of my 46 days traveling all these various fishing locations months at a time with my pontoon boat, my gear, stuffed into the car. And during that time, I had the privilege to learn from top anglers in our industry, including Denning Rickards, who took me under his wing to teach me primarily the fundamentals of Stillwater. My training took place on trophy trout lakes across the Northwest, including California, Oregon, Montana, Nevada, Wyoming, and Idaho.
Vicki, I'm going to cut you off here because it's very obvious to me. There's a name for you. You're a trout bum, aren't you?
That's one of the names that people call me. I'll answer that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Vicki.
Yeah.
You clearly love stillwater fishing on lakes. Why lakes over rivers and streams?
Well, here's what happened. I can tell you what happened on this and why I stayed with the Stillwater side of our business. It happened 9 years ago, and I was fishing during a cool morning on a Wyoming reservoir, and that day literally changed my life. It was early morning. There was light chop on the water. And at that time, I was relatively new to Stillwater. That morning, I was really struggling to get a hookup. But as I was scanning the surface of the water, I looked over and saw a 4-foot length bulge of water all about 40 feet away from me. So as I casted over to it, when my fly hit the water, the fish took the fly. And it was like a freight train had literally grabbed my fly. I held tight onto my rod as this fish raced across the lake, literally dragging me behind him while doing everything in his power to avoid capture.
Wow.
So as he gradually tired, I had landed the biggest brown trout I had ever caught. Only a third of him fit into my large. I had a huge, large, oversized fishing net, and he had still 4 flies embedded in his body from other anglers who had attempted to land him. This buck had a kite that was over 7 inches long, and his length was over 30 inches.
Jeez.
I estimated he had to be well over 24 pounds, and so to this day, I still have one of the 4 flies that I removed from his body hanging over my fly tying bench. So landing this, what I thought was a great predator, was literally the moment that I recall which had the greatest impact on my journey into stillwater angling. That experience was life-changing. I was so impressed with the possibility of catching this size of a trout in stillwater. I wanted to learn everything about trout's feeding behavior as I wanted to be the best hunter I could be. So what happened is from that moment forward, I committed to learning stillwater game. It was no longer just a fun hobby. I wanted to be a fish whisperer. I stopped talking and focused on listening and learning. I became a master observer of the water. I studied entomology and became fascinated with the abundant aquatic life that lives in stillwater habitats.
Fascinating story, and I can definitely see after that fish why you got hooked on stillwater fishing. Now, you make your own line of flies. I presume that means you've invented a few flies. Tell us very briefly about that and how folks can buy them.
Well, this whole process led to the development of my own fly patterns. And when I fish my flies, I literally kept track of pages of the results of the field testing of my patterns. For every fish I caught, I kept a record of the habitat, the conditions, the specific pattern design, colors, materials that I used. So through this process, I found trends in colors and materials that were consistently more productive regardless of the habitat and the season. And a couple of things that I found, I think it was fascinating to me, and one of the most significant trends that I found was that UV materials increased the productivity of the fly.
Interesting.
What I found was that UV is a fish attractor. I extensively tested each of my patterns with and without UV and found that the flies with UV materials significantly outperform the same pattern without. So as a result, I've incorporated UV materials into all of my fly patterns, and I believe this literally tips the scale to the angler's favor. And John, why UV works is still debated, specifically in the scientific community. My experience was that UV enhances the fly's productivity because it increased visibility.
Sure.
And my take on it is that it may be due to the iridescence of the UV materials. So remember as a kid when we used to blow bubbles by sticking a stick with a loop into a bottle of soap?
Right.
Well, as we watched the bubbles, the outside of the bubble shimmered with the different colors. And the shimmering colors somewhat added a sense of movement.
Right.
Simply by the way the light illuminated the bubble. So UV, my take is it must do the same thing. UV materials create an appearance of iridescence and translucency, which acts as a visual attractor.
Vicki, got to cut you off because we're starting to run out of time. But getting back to where people can buy your flies, is that through your website at stillwateradventure.com?
It is. And then that's my blog, and my website, my retail website is fliesbyvicki.com.
Okay.
All one word.
All right. Fliesbyvicki.com if you want those flies. If you want to check out Vicki's blogs, go to stillwateradventure.com. One other thing I want to talk about, we've only got a minute left, is the fact that you are a guide and you've got a couple of trips coming up that sound pretty interesting. Tell our listeners about them and how they can sign up for them.
Well, one of the locations that listeners may be interested in would be Crittenden Reservoir out of Montello, Nevada. It's one of the lakes that I guide on. It's a 200-acre lake. It's stocked yearly, and you can expect fish up to 10 pounds.
Wow.
Trout up to 30 inches can be occasionally caught, and it's a rustic location located at the end of a high desert canyon, 20 miles outside of Montello, Nevada on the Weinkamp Ranch. It is a fly catch and release fishery. I'll be there September 21st through the 23rd in October 1st through the 2nd, and people can sign up on my website or call me, and I can provide more details on it. You can camp alongside the lake, or as privity camping is available for free, but there's also a motel in Montello, which is about 20 miles away from the lake, but you can commute back and forth at. So it's pretty amazing. Given the drought and how it has impacted all of the lakes in the Northwest, this fishery is unique in that there's hundreds and thousands of gallons that come into that lake that is fed daily by natural springs.
Vicki, one last question. We are definitely out of time here. Are we talking rainbow trout here or Lahontan cutthroat?
Rainbows, occasional brown. This fall, he's stocking it with 5,000 tigers.
Nice.
And largemouth bass are prolific, you know, during the warmer months. It's currently closed right now just because of the weather, but the high water temperatures, but it'll reopen this fall.
All right. Sounds like a great opportunity. The website to go to for that, stillwateradventure.com. Your guide is Vicki Loftus. And if you're interested in going on a guided fishing trip in September or October, some really big trout, or whether you want to buy some flies with some UV patterns that ought to work great, or just want some fly fishing tips, check out what Vicki has to offer. Vicki, thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John. It was a joy to be here.
Gonna get up before the sun rise above us. Got a bamboo pole and a leaky boat. It ain't much, but if you bail, it'll float. I'm gonna take you fishing, honey.
You're gonna love it.
Go fishing, make money, help out, and have fun. That's what the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery is all about. From May 1st through September 30th, catch pike minnow out of the Columbia and Snake Rivers and turn them in for cash. Pike minnow eat juvenile salmon and steelhead. Each one you catch helps more juvenile fish reach the ocean. Pike minnow are worth anywhere from $5 to $8, and keep an eye out for tag fish worth $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org and go fishing.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. With what's going on in the world, particularly Afghanistan, I wanted to reach out to Colonel Brian Gilman. He is the CEO of the Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation, headquartered near Bozeman, Montana. They use fly fishing as a way to help post-9/11 combat veterans. Colonel Gilman, it's great to have you back on the air.
John, it's great to be back. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're a retired Marine Corps colonel, and you led troops in Afghanistan. And, you know, we're all watching the disastrous ending of our involvement there unfold. And I know I'm having a hard time dealing with this as a veteran, and I didn't even serve in Afghanistan. What message do you have for our veterans who did serve there, who sacrificed so much, lost comrades, and are wondering right now what difference their service made?
Yeah, you know, that's a question that I think all veterans, and especially veterans that served in Afghanistan, are struggling with right now. I've been watching events unfold in Afghanistan for the last couple of weeks, and I'll tell you, it's been really hard. And, you know, I think it's human nature to look at what's happening and ask yourself, what was all that for? You know, how was it worth this outcome? And I struggle with that. But, you know, after a lot of reflection, really what I came down to was a couple things. I mean, first, you know, my service was worthy because I know what I was fighting for. I was fighting for my brothers and sisters that were fighting on my left and right. I was fighting to uphold the legacy of my corps and my unit. And I was fighting to accomplish a noble mission, and, you know, our mission to kill terrorists, keep them away from home, and provide security for the Afghan people. So, and for the last 20 years, that's exactly what we did. We kept them away from the homeland. We fought forward so we didn't have to defend at home. And, you know, we did that for the 20 years that we were there. So, you know, that's what my service stood for. And I realized that, you know, veterans can't judge the value of their service based on the strategic outcome of the wars that they fight in. I think that's a fool's errand. It's best left to the four-star generals and the political leaders. So my service was worth it for those reasons that I talked about.
You know, I think that's a great message, not just for our veterans in Afghanistan, but for our veterans who are Vietnam veterans as well.
Absolutely.
Let's turn to Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation. You're the CEO of this foundation, and you operate a very special ranch near Bozeman, Montana, that's just for post-9/11 combat veterans. Why don't you tell our listeners, first off, how you use fly fishing to help these veterans? It's basically, you're using it as therapy.
Yes. So we operate all of our programs at a Quiet Waters Ranch, which is located 9 miles north of Bozeman, 122 acres right at the base of the Bridger Mountains. And what we do is we bring post-9/11 combat veterans and their loved ones here to Montana, and we put them through what we call a fly fishing experience. It's a 5 to 6 day program. And really what we do is we use fly fishing as a mechanism to help post-9/11 combat veterans and their loved ones find peace in their lives and give them the scope, the coping skills that they need to find it. So we take the veterans here to Montana and we immerse them in a serene physical environment of Southwest Montana, Quiet Waters Ranch, all the awesome fly fishing waters that we fish on. Then we teach them a totally immersive skill, fly fishing. Anybody that fly fishes know that it's 100% immersive. When you're doing it, you're completely into the act, but it's not physically taxing. And that helps warriors do a couple of things, warriors and their loved ones. It helps them find respite from stress and anxiety. Scientifically proven fact that that's one of the outcomes of fly fishing and spending meaningful time in nature. It also helps them reckon and make meaning of their service, which I think, you know, especially now with events going on in Afghanistan, is extremely important. You know, make meaning of what they did, why they did it, and what the future looks like going forward. And then what we do is we overlay all that, this safe, secure, loving environment that's created by our volunteers that makes Quiet Waters Ranch feel like a home. It creates trust. And the combination of all that enables the warriors to start making connections with their volunteers that are going through the program with them, connections with the other warriors that are going through with them, which is super important because, as you know, being a veteran yourself, you know, the relationships that you've built in your service are some of the strongest relationships that you've ever had in your life. And when you leave the service, while they're still there, they're remote. And it's really hard to recreate those social bonds that had such meaning when you were in the service. And we're able to break through that trust with you, that isolation, and create those bonds for our warriors and their loved ones that come through our program. And then that leads to all kinds of renewing outcomes that will come down the road in terms of them grasping what their identity as a veteran is, warriors and their loved ones really understanding what their potential as veterans and military families are, and then figuring out a way to pursue that full potential with a purpose. So we have 11 different program models. It all starts with an individual warrior coming here with a cohort of five other warriors going through a week, and then, you know, follow-on programming that they can come through once they went through that first program. So it's not just a one-time deal. You go through Warriors in Quiet Waters and you don't see us ever again. We've designed our programs where we continually keep our warriors and their families engaged, continually bringing them back into Montana, putting them through these what we call successive progressive programming to help them move to that point where they're thriving as veterans. So you can come back with your spouse and go through one of our couples FX. We just started a family fishing experience this year where we brought entire military families here for a week and really, you know, did activities focused on specific outcomes that we were trying to achieve with the families. Things like improving parent-child relationships and improving couple communication, teaching them how to recreate as a family, teaching them how to problem solve as a family. We have a coaching FX where we'll link individual warriors up with professional coaches for a year. And we underwrite all of that. And then during that year, they'll work with that professional coach on a big problem or opportunity that they're trying to achieve. So, like I said, 11 different program models in total, and all designed to keep our warriors engaged and move them to that point where they're thriving and living a life of purpose.
I absolutely love this, Colonel. And I love the fact that, yes, you have the programs for the individual veterans, but also those that care for the veterans. This is essentially a four-day experience at the ranch. Why don't you, and we've only got a couple of minutes here, briefly walk through what the itinerary is.
Yeah, so I'll talk about our solo FX, which is the first fishing experience that a veteran will typically see. It's a five-day experience. They'll arrive here on Monday. We'll collect them at the airport, bring them out to Quiet Waters Ranch. That's where they'll link up with all the volunteers that are supporting the program. We'll spend that day getting them settled. We issue them all the fly fishing equipment that they need to fly fish with us for the week, and they keep it, and they go home with it, because one of the outcomes is we want them to continue fishing when they go home. So we'll get them all their gear on that first day, get in, have a really good meal that first day in the lodge at Quiet Waters Ranch with all the volunteers. Once again, start working on those social connections. And then the next day is what we call Fly Fishing 101. And that's really the day of teaching them the skill and art of fly fishing. Everything from fitting their equipment to teaching them how to put a fly rod together, teaching them how to tie a fly on, how to conduct a fly cast, how to read water, entomology, all that kind of stuff. We do that, we'll practice, and then we'll put them on, you know, flat water, a pond or a lake around the Gallatin Valley, where they really get the opportunity to feel what it's like to catch a fish on a fly rod. And that's the second day. And then the next 2 days, they'll spend, usually the first day could either be a float down one of our magnificent rivers here in Montana, or a walk wade, where they're walk wading fishing on a spring creek or something like that. So we try to do a float and a walk wade on Wednesday and Thursday. And we're blessed by, you know, tons of supporters that give us access to private waters that most people never get a chance to fish on, which is, you know, all part of that experience and that pristine natural environment that I talked about. And then the culminating event that will happen on Thursday nights is we'll do what we call sayonara dinner. And that's when everybody that's been involved in the fishing experience will have this wonderful meal together at our lodge. And that's the opportunity for our warriors. It's usually led off by our volunteer team leader who will talk about those things that he learned and how he grew with it throughout the fly fishing experience. And that gives the warriors and their loved ones an opportunity as well to, once again, make meaning of the week and what they got out of it. And then the following morning, we'll give them a good breakfast, and then we'll send them home. So if there are caretaking costs or anything like that that need to be covered while the veterans are here or while the loved ones are here, we'll cover all that back home, once again, so that they can be totally immersed in our program and really work on them while they're here.
I want to verify one thing, Colonel. This experience, no cost to the veteran?
100% cost-free to veterans and their families by private donors.
All right. We have got to go. We are out of time. But folks, if you are a post-9/11 combat veteran and you want to find out more and sign up to participate, the website to go to warriorsandquietwaters.org. That's warriorsandquietwaters.org for the Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation, located near Bozeman, Montana. Colonel Gilman, thanks for your words of advice, and thanks for doing what you do. We appreciate hearing all about it on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thanks so much, Chuck.
Did you know we actually have a sponsorship opportunity available for this show? That's right. You can be a sponsor of Northwestern Outdoors Radio, reaching thousands of listeners every week, tuning in to 69 stations in 7 states. If you have a business that caters to outdoors enthusiasts, this is the platform for you, and you're going to find it's much more affordable than you think. Contact me through my website at northwesternoutdoors.com, and let's get a conversation started. That's northwesternoutdoors.com.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands. We've helped ban the use of drones for hunting. We help repair wildlife corridors and key riparian areas. We speak up against illegal ATV use. We collaborate with elected leaders to keep public lands in public hands. We're Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, with membership in all 50 states in Canada. Please join this dynamic conservation group. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
September is knocking at the door, and as it does, a number of opportunities will be opening up in states across the greater Northwest, to include the morning dove hunting season, which opens up September 1st. That is always a lot of fun, the dove opener. Sharp-tailed grouse season begins in Montana, Wyoming on September 1st, and a lot of hunters who enjoy going for long walks with their dogs along the prairie will enjoy that day too. If you prefer to hunt your grouse in forested areas, ruffed and blue grouse seasons open up on the 1st in Oregon, Wyoming, and Montana, and on August 30th in Idaho. And don't forget early bow hunting opportunities for elk that are popping up in early September as well in several Northwest states. Two things I would like to tell you if you're a September hunter. Number one, make sure you can access the places you normally hunt. Wildfires and restrictions associated with them have resulted in a lot of closed lands this summer, and those closures will likely stretch through the month ahead as fire season continues. Second, if you need ammunition, boots, clothing, arrows, bows, or shotguns, the place to go for all of them is the same. It's your local Sportsman's Warehouse store. And you know that Labor Day weekend sale flyer is dropping too, so now is the perfect time. And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week. And this time we're taking you to Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State to go hiking. There is a very well-known trail there that takes you in a huge 93-mile loop around Mount Rainier. It's considered one of the best backpacking hikes in the entire Northwest. What's the name of this hiking trail that circles Mount Rainier? Is it A, the Rainier Loop Trail? Is it B, the Wonderland Trail? Or C, the Nisqually Trail? If you're not a hiker in the Pacific Northwest, you might have to look this one up. But once you do, you know what to do. Go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Give us your answer there. If you don't do Facebook, just go to our website at northwesternoutdoors.com and contact us through there to let us know the name of that trail that goes 93 miles in a loop around Mount Rainier. Is it the Rainier Loop Trail, the Wonderland Trail, or the Nisqually Trail? One lucky person who guesses right wins that $25 gift card we give away every week from America's Premier Outfitter. Until next time, I would appreciate some prayers for the healing of my busted leg. And I also hope that you stay healthy and that you're blessed and that you make it a point to spend some time outdoors.